Welcome back, everybody, to the Relative Bitch Podcast. We are back for another episode. Oh, we have a special guest.
Always.
And he said, I'm gone.
And the special guest is over. It's over. Welcome back. We hope that your week has been going great. We hope that you started off with a positive mindset. You'll be listening on Wednesday, so just know that you can make it to Friday. I know as this episode is coming out, it's be the first Wednesday of October, which, OMG, October is usually the month where it goes crazy and haywire. For me, myself, I'll have the first Houston Pride Band concert this Saturday. So that will happen. Then I have a middle school concert after that. You know, auditions are happening for my kids. So it's just like in the first week of October, it goes crazy. For all my marching band people out there, best of luck to you as you go off to all the competitions in October. I would like to just remind you, it's about the children, less about egos. And what's that for, Michael?
Finish your monologue.
See, that's why some of you get so angry after competition, because your ego is in it and not the children. Because I would love to just say this, and I have to come on here and say this yearly, sometimes bi-yearly, sometimes every monthly, and just say, if it wasn't for the children, you would not have a job. So I would put that first over I need to come first or second or third. Well, child, how about this? Does your last year did they have a good time? Because guess what? If they did and they're not coming back, then guess what? It's going to get smaller. And the principal's going to get you that pink sheet. We all know that pink sheet. Ooh. We will go ahead and like you to find employment somewhere else. So just remember that. This is the month where a lot of people get to questioning things. Mm. So just keep on the path. Keep steadfast. Keep praying and fasting. Mm-hmm. And I think it will all be fine. I know personally I'm looking for my break. My fall break. And if you got a fall break, amen.
It's nice to have one.
Huh?
It must be nice to have one.
It is.
That's your fault.
It is, Michael. To have a break. Lord have mercy. But I mean, again, you're in college. So it's like y'all start late and end early. So. Yes. Would you like to speak on record?
See, Michael be complaining about the life he chose, about the decisions he made.
I didn't choose this life. This life chose me.
Oh, so we're doing that. Oh.
It's on my Live, Tap, Love poster in my hallway.
Jesus. Well, my God. I mean, you also, you're always with the high school girls. So let me just say a story. So
Anthony was about to be like, when you teach college, you can take any day off.
Well, but here's my story. So on this past Friday, we did the middle school night with the children, took them to a football game. Oh, my Lord. There's a reason I left high school, and it's really because football and I don't want to be there. I don't. Love the activity. Gotta go. Too much time. So I get home and I'm like, oh, my feet is tired. My back tired. My voice is gone. My energy is all expelled, you know. And then Michael says, oh, my gosh, you know how like you had to go to a football game? I chose to go to a high school football game.
I did. I found my way there and then found my way downtown. I found my way to Chattanooga.
So those are, again, decisions that you made.
Correct.
Oh, I'm not complaining about that. I'm complaining that I ain't got the fall break.
You could have more breaks.
You could.
Literally out.
Stop doing so much.
Literally, guess what? Guess what's
Okay,
up?
I'm gonna send my credit card invoices to y'all.
Girl, you better make your taste, your actual level sound like you living above the
Oh,
means.
well, look, Mike, I'm gonna tell you right now, if you send a credit card over here, you might as well be ready for the federal government to come over there with you, because I ain't got nothing.
Hey, you know, find me. I'm gonna go remote. I'm gonna go cash only.
Oh, so never mind. Let me not make that joke. Let me not. Let me not. Let me not. Let me not.
Not make that joke, especially now. Girl, we real close to McCarthyism up in his house.
Not McCarthyism.
Y'all started by that in high school.
For
Girl.
shout out to all the AP US
Come
students.
on, they push.
A push. Shout out to them. Which is funny because I was watching on TikTok and they were like, how people, you can tell people did not take A push seriously because like all the like recent ads, you know, the jeans ad, like Sydney Sweeney has great jeans, you know, those. And was like, you know, if you were in A push, you would fail a DBQ because this is true propaganda.
What?
You weren't an A push.
Hell no.
Wait,
APs are scams, and more people need to realize that.
I mean,
This, no, first of all, no.
APs are literal scams.
first of all, look, the content was fine. Now, with the whole getting credit for college, I can see the
APs
scam.
are scams. Just dual enroll.
Yes, I agree. Don't miss out on band or choir or orchestra. That's why I didn't dual enroll personally, because that would have took my periods for band, choir, and music theory.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to do that. So APs was what I did. And for all of us that were in AP classes, shout out to us, because we went through some trials and tribulations.
Y'all, oh, as y'all just said, y'all chose to go through
And we
trials and
did.
tribulations.
It did. And I
And
stand 10
did.
toes on that.
Right.
I know that's what
I stand 10 toes. But you know, that brings the point about the DBQs, about, you know, we have these things that are in front of us that is a repeat of history. And it's like completely going over our heads. It's just modernized, same propaganda from 60, 70 years ago.
Right.
Because I'm sorry, that little jeans ad, girl.
I didn't, I'm be honest with y'all, I never saw it.
That makes sense. But if you have seen it, you know what that ad is. Go like ghost watch it. And I would say, let me tell you three different jeans ads to watch, so you know how jeans and certain companies are advertising. Go watch the god awful Sydney Sweeney American Eagle one, and then go watch the Gap Cat's Eye, the girl group one. That one's really cute, very dancey choreography. And then go watch the Beyonce Levi's full commercial as
Is
well.
that the one where they're like, boom, 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 boom?
Yes.
I saw
So the difference is
that.
like. These three ads like seemingly came like there were some Beyonce things that were out, but I think they fully put out the full Levi's, like the multiple commercials that were a whole story out right now.
Is it this one?
Yes. And
Yes.
like the Sydney Sweeney ad, like a lot of people want to act dumb, and like I'm gonna say that again, a lot of people want to act dumb and want to just say, oh, it was just a jeans ad. Like we know from like just like Anthony was saying, there's so much hidden meaning and messaging within, especially advertisements that are getting pushed to the public, whether that's through like literal politicians who are putting out those things, or if it's through companies who are doing those things. But the idea of having a white, blonde, blue-eyed woman like saying she has good genes, like
The play
it
on
would
words.
be the play on word. And then some people want to be like, it was just about genes. Like you guys are taking it too far. It's like, no, you don't have the comprehension to think past just what they're telling you to think. You think they just want you to buy the genes. But there's other things hidden in there as well. And so like then there's other, like if you go watch the Gap one, Cat's Eye is just like kind of dancing around and everything, and they're a girl group, so they dance and they're super big on like choreo and everything. So that is that. And Beyonce just did a whole tour that was based on like American, like country, like Black American countryisms. And that has a lot to do with jeans. She even has a song called Levi's, like, Levi's jeans. And she was wearing Levi's a lot throughout the tour. So, duh, that commercial makes sense. Both, that's the whole thing is like, all, if you think about it, all three commercials make perfect sense, but people just don't want to admit the harm that that first American Eagle, Sydney Sweeney ad like actually has when it comes to like the ongoing conversations around like eugenics and the prior like people certain people getting treated certain way over other, or the idea that one kind of gene and one kind of genetics is better than the other. So please do like be let's use this, right? We were given this. God gave us
I
this.
will say, you need to make sure you get the original one because they've flushed out the original American Eagle ads with other ones to like try to like dive the original one. Girl, it's because of one I just saw. So, what's wrong with this?
Right, there are multiple of the
She's
Sydney
walking
Sweeney ones.
around in some jeans and she don't even look that good in them. And
Ooh.
then I But she said they even make her butt look good. I said, what butt?
Ooh.
Anyways,
Hello. Right.
and then this one, she said Gen Offspring. I said, well, talk about Offspring.
And that is the one, that's the
And
one
then
that
she
I was talking
said,
about.
girl, she looked at the camera and she said, my jeans are blue. Hitler's love child. I'm sorry.
Hello.
Well, I think that also points to the thing, like these companies know when they're pushing a button because what they'll film multiple versions and then, oh, we're gonna just sneak this one out here and see if there's outrage. Oh, there's outrage. Let's now do the other B, C roles that we have filmed anyway, so
Right.
that people will forget about my jeans are better. Sydney Sweeney has good jeans.
Now, someone said, oh, I really don't want to make Lauren bleep this. I'm not gonna bleep it. Someone said she tried the bleep bleep composer thing and like outrage the community to try to make a comeback. That's what they were saying American Eagle was doing because
That's
American
wild.
Eagle.
Bleep, bleep.
But someone said that because American Eagle stock hasn't been doing the best, that they were like, let's cause a bunch of outrage. But then what's, because they said what's going to happen is the conservatives going to come by our jeans.
And they
Because
are dumb
they
enough to do that. And y'all, if
are.
you're listening to this, you're dumb enough to do
I
it.
had to, I stopped buying American Eagle jeans.
American Eagle, first of all, let's be honest here. American Eagle, I don't think I ever saw, I guess they are a jean company, but like in my head, I always just saw American Eagle's like, oh, it's that store on the bottom level of the mall. Like
Right.
you just kind of miss. When I think of jean companies, I'm thinking of Levi, I'm thinking of Wrangler. I mean,
Wrangler.
yeah, like I'm thinking of
Oh,
those
no.
jeans. And I mean jeans that you get, like personally, we all know Hollister and American Eagle, they're the same company, just one is
Yeah.
cheaper. So I would always look, I am no shame in my game. I'm going for the cheaper one. I'm going to Hollister. It's the same jeans with a different name on it. So
No, they never fit me the same, girl. Okay. I feel like Hollister a little fat phobic.
Okay.
They didn't like the Husky girls.
18 Husky. I know that's right. Shout out 18.
No. And he used to be like, can I just get a 19 instead?
No, you're a grown man. Go ahead. But what is just so shocking is that, Lauren, as you pointed out, those three different versions of jean ads, how, the American Eagle ad clearly has propaganda for saying something is better than the other.
Exactly.
And then on the opposite side, some may argue that Beyonce is also propaganda, in which I would say, well, yeah, it is. But what is the concept of that? First of all, Levi jeans has been associated with country, and we all know we have We've delved into that on this podcast about country and its original roots coming from Black American culture. And so that propaganda is more, I am retaking the narrative of what it is. I'm reclaiming the narrative. And I think, Levi jeans, that came first. So I see American Eagle as a response to that one. Because here's the thing, we all know when Beyonce adds her name to it, first of all, Parkwood and everybody else under her entertainment company, they do their thorough research. They're like, look, if we're gonna partner with somebody, we're gonna know the history, and now we're going to make sure that the history respects us, Black people. And so, that came out during the Cowboy Carter era. And it was like, oh my gosh, look at Levi, blah, blah, blah. And then American Eagle, come on now. We have Levi Jeans that's been an American jean company since, oh, what, 1800s? And then we have American Eagle, which is like definitely new, very smaller on the market. They choose to put this very blue-eyed blonde girl, the complete antithesis of Beyonce, antithesis of, reclaiming actual Black culture, and say, no, our jeans are better. Sweetie, you're obviously in, you're on the wrong field, babes. You're on the wrong field. And to Michael's point, that's what I guess sells money now is outrage. And again, we live in a divided society right now. And so, I mean, if I wanted to make a dollar, let me say something outrageous. Because the thing is, you're going to get those people and they are going to sell for it. Like, you're just, yep. Let me like, let me just cash those dollars, cash the more dollars. That's
Well,
what.
it's like, who was it? Bud Light,
Oh,
when
yeah.
they did their gay campaign, and then, well, I'm not gonna drink no gay beer. Girl, throw them gay beers up in the gay club and we will sell more.
First of all, Michael drank them all.
I won't. That is cat piss.
I always say that. I don't like no beer. They better get them country gays.
I like Michigan and Belgian beer.
That's disgusting. First of all, gays who drink beer, butch. Love it for y'all. Go butch it.
But I think so, because we last week, and like we've been talking about how there's a lot of reversing happening, COVID, and we said, okay, 5 years, this is year five. Throughout these past 5 years, a lot of these groups have done different campaigns that have included more diverse like body types and everything. And it feels like now, because there's a new person in office, it's, a new idea of conservatism that is currently sitting in office, there's a lot of calling for, we want to see beautiful women again on things, and we want to see people who look like the traditional idea of this, and this. And so they see the Beyonce ad and they say, that's not true American jeans. That's not true. They don't see that as genuine, which is the same exact pushback she got when she started in country, was that it wasn't genuine. They saw that as she was taking things away from who it actually belonged to. So now certain companies like American Eagle and others, there are many others out there who are trying to use that to their advantage, like Michael was mentioning, like if they were to, adhere and try to like look a certain way to the more conservative like views, then they're going to get that support from them. So we are going to like actually be seeing more and more and more of this as we continue on throughout this year and through the rest of this political whatever nightmare that is currently happening right now. So just be aware of it. Like just tap in to, I know there's a lot going on and sometimes it's easier to not look at what's happening, but every now and then just like look at what movies, what ads, who's getting cast in things, what ideas and values that these bigger corporations who put out statements that they were going to do better, look to see what they're doing now. A lot of them have completely stepped away. They have fired anyone in the senior level positions who had anything to do with their DEI, like marketing and promises that they tried to make. So none of it's surprising. I think it's frustrating though when people try to deny that it's happening. It is absolutely happening because from the federal level, there are organizations who are getting their money taken away from them because they have DEI on their websites, because they specifically have funding and scholarships for marginalized communities. Those groups, artists, nonprofits are getting their money taken away from them, and they're being literally attacked because of that and not allowed to do what they want, like how they want to show up in the world. And so a lot of companies are taking that as a cue of like, oh, well, we need to go back to like traditional, what we consider traditional values and traditional roots. And the companies who don't do that, you'll see who they are because they'll be very outspoken about it. And a lot of them will try to just sneak back into their old ways without saying anything. And then you have companies like American Eagle who really just was like, we don't have to pretend anymore. Great. Here's a eugenics ad.
Yep. And in the music education world, like I know people to Lauren's point about reversing a lot of their things. I know some professors that have had to literally go change their bios on the university website to take anything related to diversity, equity, inclusion out. During the era of 2020 to about 2023, there was a lot of research being had, and a lot of people that were getting their doctorates were a lot on a lot of the boards. I mean, coming from, the Composer Diversity Network, all these things, and of course that makes your bio. And I know one school in particular, down in the South, they sent out a message to the professors that I guess AI, they use the AI thing and it just checked everybody's bios on the school website and it found they sent an email, the school sent an email said, your bio has a little bit too much DEI things. I need you to reword this, or there would be consequences after. So that professor had to change their bio, re-upload and everything, take some major things, major research that was needed for our field, but they had to take it out because all of the rollbacks that happened very swiftly, very swiftly. I mean, what was this last year when it just kind of came out and said, all right, DI is gone. And then you better have everything quick. Organize, take it out. If it is, you're basically getting fired. Like, what? And again, for us in music, a lot of music was uncovered, rediscovered. Today, I just saw this, which I knew this, but it's kind of crazy. So, a lot of people's music that was rediscovered. One of the biggest ones was Florence Price. Beautiful music. I mean, obviously one of the standards of African American classical repertoire. But I was reading for in her actual lifetime, she was a Mexican passing person because at that time of her life, basically you could be anything but black. If you wanted your career to actually do something. So she, during her life, passed as Mexican, which is like when we talk about this, and some people have said this, not to me, but I've seen the discourse of like, why does it always have to be a black versus everybody? Well, literally, you could be anything else but black. Another thing that I just saw there, I forget the man's name, but he was really big in the early 1900s. Wonderful musician, not classical, but he ended up working with MGM and things like that. He was born to a black, liked black father, and the mother was black and like white. So he's very light skinned. He ended up moving to LA and then he got married. Down in Mexico and came back. And to be part of the American Federation of Musicians, you could be anything but black. So he passed as an Indian man up until his death in 1998. So he was like the resident composer and musician of like Indian, you know, that more what is it, Southwestern Asian music in the 50s and 60s of like, you know, the old movies and things. But that just continues to highlight you could be anything but black in music and you'll be fine. And those are two things that I literally just saw today. That's what we mean about all of those rollbacks and things that are happening. Remember in 2020, we had all this kind of influx of, yes, rediscovery with William Grant Still and Florence Price and Tanya Leon, and the list goes on. And we had new composers. We had Omar, we had Kataj and Kevin, all these new composers. But now it is becoming slower and slower. Remember last year at Midwest, remember the outrage of the guy's name that we bleeped out earlier? That outrage, although at the time, you know, we were like, oh, how, like what? Da, da, da. That to me sparked a lot of snowball effects. He might not have known that, but soon as 2025 hit, everything, take it away, take it away, take it away. And how many people sat quietly and didn't say much?
And how many people who's like talk that good game but still be playing his music? N.T. ways. I will say this. Me and one of my colleagues were talking the other day how we like at times feel like scared to say things, like with what's going on in the world and stuff in our classrooms. Like not saying like in our classrooms, but in general. Like I think we were talking about like because like for my music appreciation class, a lot of it has to do with pop culture. And recently we were talking about the Lemonade album. Part of the Lemonade album is not just infidelity, it's the struggles of black women in America. And so I'm like, is someone going to record me and like report me? Because I'm showing this Malcolm X speech and all this other stuff. And it's like the fact that we have to think about that and we have to like always ask ourselves, like, can we say this without getting fired? Because that's happening in public ed and like K through 12. Like, if you make a wrong post on your Facebook, girl, you're gonna get that email. So,
Happened.
literally, has happened. So, like, we were talking about it the other day, and I said, the fact that we had to think about this is crazy.
When the other side can say whatever the freak they want to say, they can literally say death to every black person. That's free speech. It's free speech. They can say whatever they want to. No. I've there were literal last year when I started, you know, really popping off. There were teachers who flat out said on their Facebook, I hope ICE come to my school because these students can't read, they can't write, da, da, da. Like, that is detrimental to the students. And that teacher was able to keep their job, maybe get a slap on the wrist. But now, when a teacher made, maybe America was great today because, you know, homie, no shade to him. The recent passing of the whatever that homie's name, that was completely gone quickly and in a hurry. That had no effect to any of the children of that school, that population. This teacher that said, I hope ICE come here, that could have been so scary for any of those kids. Nothing was happening. That's what I mean. Why are we trying to censor? We're trying to censor the protection of people and the opening of ideas from many different cultures. But we all want this one version, this eugenics, the perfect genes, back to the perfect genes. That's the only thing we want. We want to go back to what it looked like in the 40s and the 50s. Separate but equal, I guess.
No, they it's not even separate but equal anymore. They want people gone. Like everything that's the policing around with ICE, the rollouts they're doing with like how much they're going in and like these like low key, no, they're not low key, these concentration camps they are building for these people. Like at this point, they want to get rid of anyone who are they do not see as an American or who has their traditional values. And I think the thing is, we know this, right? And so I'm going to say this already, even though we have plenty of time before the next election. If you feel as if you did not vote in this last election, either because you couldn't, you were too young still, or you felt like your voice didn't matter, please understand that everything that is going on right now is a result of people, some people choosing to show up and others not. You cannot expect your neighbor, your aunt, your friend to do the work for you. If you actually want to see change happen, you want to be able to have your job and like live the life that you want, you need to go out and vote. My goodness. Please
Please. Because you then, like, in my opinion, like, this is just me as a person. I say this in my faculty meetings. If you don't vote, you cannot complain. If you don't raise an opinion about how the way you think something should be ran, you cannot complain. I'm sorry. If you are asked your opinion and you say nothing,
He's agreeing with you.
you're
Agreed.
asked your opinion and you say nothing. You cannot complain. I really hate when people do. I'm sorry. I really hate like when people do. I really hate when people do that. It's like, hey, where you want to go to eat? Oh, I don't know. I'm good with anything. Okay, we're gonna go here. Yeah, I just really don't like. Shut up. You gotta ask your opinion.
Going back though to what you were just saying, Michael, about sometimes having that fear and hesitation of saying things, especially in the classroom settings and getting recorded, that is a real fear, right? A lot of educators, like you both are educators, you both work in different settings where someone at any moment can pull out their phone and record you. What I will say about that is, I don't want to work anywhere where my opinions and my values are seen as like inappropriate or seen as like that's not actually aligned with our own values because I don't want to be there. I promise you don't want to have me there, and I don't want to be there if that is the case. But we also understand that there is higher risk for certain groups over others. So you have to just be smart. You have to think about it and say, like, are you willing to risk possibly the what could happen, like, the repercussions of you teaching that lecture the way you want to, or you programming that piece on your concert? Like, what are you like you have to make a decision. Unfortunately, no matter what situation you are in, you will have to make a decision to either do or to do not. But both of those are decisions.
Yep. It's decisions you just gotta stand on. And as you said, Lauren, I don't want to work in a place where they're gonna make me do certain. That's why I don't work in a private school or a charter school. You're not about to police me in my own existence. Like there's a thing, like though in those settings, they're like, you cannot be you here. And that's not about to be me. I'm sorry. No.
Them colleges that have a behavior contract or behavior expectations, like you got fuck off with that bullshit.
I'm a grown person.
I'm a grown person. The only one who tells me what to do is this dog.
Oh, he
Period.
sure does.
I'm grown and I have gone through life with my with own trials and tribulations that I'm not going to let you take me back anyway. So let's just start there. And I just think that, for people that are working in those places, my hat is off to you. I know it's difficult. And of course, you got to go where a job is. In this economy,
Oh, girl, with these credit charges,
they
you better
trying
get
to kill
a
us.
point.
They're trying to kill us. But just remain who you are, know who you are trying to be, want to be, and need to be, and just remain consistent in that. Stand in your truth. That's what I always say.
Amen. Well, I'll be spending so much time on TikTok. I have a game for us to play, and it might spark some conversations. Who knows? Okay. These are hot takes or takes that we're hot about. So I'm a rapid fire. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. Eight questions. That's that Middle Georgia education right here. So we got questions and rapid fire. Ready for this? Who is the most overhyped band composer? Okay.
Oh, this is supposed to be fast.
Well, it's supposed to be all of us. Okay, so 3, 2, 1, Anthony.
Percy Granger.
Lauren.
I can't. No, I don't have an opinion on this.
Persichetti. Great. Who is the most overhyped orchestra composer? Mozart.
Yeah.
Next. Who, what about for you, Anthony?
Bach, not a fan. Lauren, who's yours?
I'm keeping it Mozart. He's just too
I know, that's
repetitive.
right. High five through the camera. Amen. Okay, who? I really only have one opinion about this because of something I'm having to prep for somebody. Who is the most overhyped choir composer? Dan Forest. What about y'all?
Dan Forest.
Of course, Lauren.
I also don't have an opinion about
Just
this.
say Dan Forest.
I cannot, on the record.
No, no shade to him. I
No shade, no shade, no
a
shade, no shade.
fire thing.
Okay. What is your band hot take?
Marching band is a scam.
Lord.
Ooh, we about to get canceled, y'all. My God.
I'm we canceled last week. I think we good.
just saying.
I think while there is a lot, I can't answer certain questions like this rapid fire because I think that there's a lot of reasons as to why bands are significant, especially for Americans. Like it's like a truly American art form. But I do think that there's a lot of intensity, specifically some educators who go a little bit too far with it, and that is a part of it that I'm like, all right, let's calm that down a little bit. Like it's not life or death.
I love that. What is your orchestra hot take?
Wait, what was yours, Michael? You didn't say nothing.
Oh.
Oh, what happened?
Mine is a dual hot take, and it's going to come later.
Okay.
Yeah. Trust me, I'll answer back to this one. Trust. What is your orchestra hot take?
Music directors make too much for what they do. It's not a hot take, that is just facts.
I know that's where I am.
Right.
Well, stop doing piano and violin concertos.
Top who?
Stop doing violin and piano concertos is my orchestra. Because you know what I do? I walk out.
This isn't my field of expertise, but I will say I would love to hear some more diverse sounds. I'm tired of hearing the concerto, then it's a big work. That where's the new stuff? Even give me the very avant-garde stuff. Let's break it up. Tired of
Yeah.
hearing the same stuff.
Amen. What is your music school hot take? Like you can talk to a student. Like, what is your music school hot take? Like, what are that kind of thing? I can go first. You don't always have to be busy.
Oh, that's one I haven't thought about in a long time.
Right.
I think the biggest thing is like you don't need to always be on campus. Actually, you need to get off campus more. There's like this stigma that like you always need to be in practice room or on stage and all that stuff. You need to go become a human too.
Yes.
You should be practicing and like performing and studying and going to class and everything. And you can do that. Well, some of us on this podcast, some of us did all those things.
Honest.
I'm not saying you didn't practice.
You talking about Anthony?
No.
Did I do wait?
He was in them streets in his master's.
And undergrad. Because here's the thing. Let me just stop right there. First of all, I didn't leave not one thread of being an undergrad. There is nothing in me who's like, I want to go back to undergrad.
Absolutely not.
Because I did all the things I was supposed to do in undergrad. I did the music thing, but I was also in the streets. I am not at the age I am saying, oh my gosh, I wish I would have done this. Girl, I did it. I did it. I had my college experience, my full college experience, and everything that came with it, from parties to some kickbacks to, practicing in the practice room until late. Like, I did it all. So I have no want or need to relive those days. But I think my hot take would be, don't think you need to live up to your professor's expectations of you. Because that is their expectations. They put that on you. And so I know a lot of people's mental health was affected by whatever professor they're trying to please. Because when I think about college students, you go from being with your parents, having that adult figure that you're still trying to please. And then now you go, parents aren't there, but who are those adult figures? And it's your professor. So you're trying to do everything for them to like you, girl. Just become confident in you, and I promise you'll be fine. You'll be a better musician by knowing you. Oh, because some of these professors, they ain't worth a penny.
Ain't.
So
Okay. What is your public music educator hot take? This is back to my band hot take. There's a lot of band education happening, but not a lot of music education happening. They're in music classes.
Yeah, I think it's my same answer as before is like we should honor the tradition and everything. It's great, but some of y'all are taking it way too seriously.
There's a lot of egos in music education. There's a lot of egos. As I said early in the podcast, if it wasn't for the children, you would be out of a job. Simple as that.
Amen. Last but not least, what is your performer hot take? Orchestra performers, you got to help get butts in chairs. Ain't nobody gonna come hear you play your scales, baby. Be captive. Be in the moment when you're making music and don't take it for granted. And then also help your admin with everything you can to put butts in chairs so you get a paycheck at the end of the month. I don't know what y'all's hot take, but that's my own.
I would say mine very similar to what we talked about last week. I think there has to be an awareness. Like sometimes, like musicians think that they could just come in and be like, oh, I don't care what's going on. You should care what's going on because as soon as there's not people sitting in that theater or concert house, you out of a job. So
Yes.
yeah.
Out.
Performer hot take, I really believe that yes, you have a voice and you need to be more responsible of that as a member of an ensemble. But it's about the collective as well. What is best for the ensemble? And I think as the higher professional you go, it becomes more self about it. But the thing is, again, no one's coming to just see you. You're coming to see the group. So yes, you could be the best thing in the world, but you might get 10 people, but the ensemble will get hundreds. So think about it that way.
And welcome to Michael's Hot Takes. It might come back, it might not, depends on my mood.
That was cute. I like that.
Cute.
And so, audience, I would love to hear your hot takes. Let us know what your opinions were for those. That was cute. I like that, Michael. That was nice.
It's about TikTok.
But what I will say is just continue being who you are. And your hot takes could be your hot takes, and we could disagree, but we'll have that conversation on a later date. But until then, We hope that you are having a wonderful week. I hope this gets you to the end of the week because it's almost Friday. And please, please, please have a great, great, great time until we see you next. Bye.
Bye.